another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the interview I did with one of my favorite comic artists at Long Beach Comic Con, and that is Mr. Brett Booth. But before we get to that, a couple of quick items. First, a bit of news.
We're sitting on top of the story of the century here.
Don't know if it's a story of the century, but Manny and I have been working on something for a while to have the Comic Source reach a bigger audience. And so I'd like to announce that we're going to be partnering up with LRM, which is Latino Review Media. And they're going to be hosting our podcast. And we're also going to be producing and recording an exclusive podcast for their website. So it's lrmonline.com. We'll still be posting on the comicsourceblog.com as well. When I did the interviews at Long Beach this weekend, you'll hear the Comic Source, presented by LRM Media. So just in case you're wondering, nothing's really going to change. It's just a way for us to reach a bigger audience and have more access to creators and more interviews for you. And just it's only going to make the podcast better, which is the end goal.
But it is a convention weekend, so maybe I can do it Monday.
It's not every weekend.
And Manny and I were at a convention this weekend, the Long Beach Comic Con, as I mentioned, and we'll be bringing you our wrap-up of that show later on this week, as well as a lot of interviews. I can talk to a lot of creators at the show. It was really a good time. So, but this episode, it's me talking to Brett Booth, as I said, one of my favorite comic artists. Honestly, like usually when I talk to people, I'm a pretty calm and cool and collected man, but I was so excited to talk to Brett. He doesn't do a lot of shows. I think, you know, last time I saw him was a couple of years ago, and the time before that was probably a few years before that. So I don't get a chance to see him, and the fact that I got to interview him and the talk we had before we started recording and everything, I was just so pumped up. And then when I was editing the interview, I realized I must have said about 6 or 7 times how I thought he had the best panel, the best page layouts, rather, in the entire industry. And I didn't realize how many times I had said that until I went back and listened. I was probably, he's probably thinking, man, this guy won't shut up about my page layouts. But it's true. I didn't mean to quite gush so much, but there's a lot of good information in the interview. Brett's a really great guy. His art is really dynamic. Currently working on the Titans book from DC, which is really going to be a story that's at the crux of the in-continuity, the in-story reason, in-universe reason for Rebirth. And while a lot of their titles are bi-monthly, or I'm sorry, bi-weekly, they're coming out twice a month, Titans is not. And it's not in the interview, but the reason for that is that you will hear Brett say that there are times when Andrew wasn't able to color a certain issue, or Norm had to get help on inks, and it really bothers them. They have so much passion for their work, and they're such a great team, and they really, you know, they want to keep that team together, and it's important for them to do all the issues. So I think that plays into it. I'm sure there are other editorial reasons as well, but it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. But the passion that these guys have for their work, especially Brett, is absolutely amazing, especially considering that you'll hear him talk in the interview about doing all his work traditionally. He doesn't do any digital work and manipulate the images there, and you can go back and make changes in it. And you know, I've talked to a lot of artists that love that, and for them it makes the process faster. And the fact that he still works all digitally, and he says at one point in the interview, yeah, I literally have five tools, and he's like, I have 3 pencils, like an eraser and a triangle, and I look over and he's got them all right there. And it's like, man, you see a lot of these artists that just have, you know, tons and tons and tons of different pencils and different pens and all that, and he had like 3 pencils, an eraser, and a little triangle ruler thing, and that was it. And with just those 5 simple things, he creates amazing comic art. So, I have more Brett Booth art in my studio here than my comic room than any other artist by far. And his art, it just speaks to me, man. He's one of my top guys without question. Super, super nice guy. Really fun, really engaging on social media. Great to talk to at a convention. And the other thing is, like, considering how dynamic and gorgeous his art is, you catch him at a show, and oftentimes his pages of original art are like $40 a piece. And, you know, original art has really been increasing in price over the last few years. And so to be able to get Brett Booth pages for $40 a page, man, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. He's a great guy. So listen to the interview. I think you'll all enjoy it. There's a lot of information there. And make sure you're following the Comic Source on all our social media sites. We're going to have a lot of content rolling out from Long Beach, as I mentioned. We'll also have our DC Rebirth or wrap-up coming out, as well as a wrap-up of Long Beach Comic-Con, in addition to all those interviews we did. So a lot of content coming out over the next few weeks. Probably going to be an episode a day, maybe some days two episodes. So I hope you all are excited to hear a lot of interviews and talk comics and listen to us talk comics and such. So again, we appreciate the support. Go to thecomicsourceblog.com for all previous episodes of our podcast. You can watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding links to Manny's written blog and my written blog, which is going to start appearing on the LRM online page rather than on my previous Tumblr page. You can also find our sketch gallery on our website. And as I mentioned, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/comicsource. We're also on Facebook, Instagram. So again, we really appreciate all the support. Without you listeners out there listening to us talk comics all the time, this deal with LRM never would have happened. So we really appreciate that. And we're looking to, as I said, increase our exposure, increase the number of conventions we cover and the people that we talk to. So it's a really exciting times here. We really appreciate everybody joining us for this crazy ride. So without further ado, here's the interview I did with Brett Booth at Long Beach Comic Con, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source, presented by LRM Media. I'm here with one of my favorite comic artists, Brett Booth.
Hello.
Brett, thanks for joining me. You don't get out to a lot of cons on the West Coast, so I'm so glad to see you here at Long Beach.
Oh, this is the first one in like almost 10 years.
Wow.
So I've been trying to get out, but either they don't ask or I just the scheduling doesn't quite work. So
so out here, West Coast, nice weather, right? No humidity.
Oh, I'm from Texas, so it's hotter there right now, but there's not usually as much humidity. So.
All right, well, let's start out talking about your process. What's your process like these days as far as you work mostly digital, you still traditional?
It's all traditional. The computer gives me a headache if I work on it for like 2 or 3 hours. And also it destroys my hand. I was in issue 6 of Teen Titans. We had originally drawn Tim Drake without his costume on. It's when he's meeting Static Shock. And so they're like, so that they're friends and they know each other outside of the superhero stuff. And it was like a week before the book was supposed to go to film, and they decided that they wanted Tim to actually be in his costume. Now, it has already been inked and colored. And so we're trying to come up with a compromise. And so I suggested, what if I just put his mask back on him? Would that be okay? Because it's going to put us behind schedule. It's going to be a giant nightmare to get me to redraw all these costumes and try to match it on these pages, and then get Norm and Andrew to color it and match it. And Dinky didn't match it. And so they said, okay, that's fine. You just do the masks. So I was like, well, it'd be easier for me to just do them all digitally. So I went back in and drew all these digital masks. And I didn't realize it until I was done, that when I stopped doing the last one, and I took my hand, was like cramped in this weird position. And I started like messing up like the arthritis and stuff in my hand, really flared up really bad. And I had like so many problems for like the next 6 months. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing anything on the computer besides playing on it and going online on Twitter or whatever anymore, because I don't want to mess my hand up like that again, because it, you know, caused some issues for the Titans Annual. So they needed that in like 6 weeks, and my hand was like destroyed after that. And it was like the first time I ever had any like hand problems. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I forgot what the rest of the question was.
Well, it's just about the fact that you still do all traditional. I mean, yeah. in this day and age, I talk to so many creators that are like, yeah, it's so much faster to go digital. You're actually faster traditional.
Yeah,
because
guess.
If you have problems like that, then it's going to just slow you down.
Yeah, I like the feel of the paper. You get like a good groove with the way the lead is kind of sheared off from the way you've been drawing and stuff like that. I only have like five tools. I mean, I have like three pencils, a kneaded eraser, and a triangle. Those are my tools. That's all I use.
I mean, when you think about it, super old school.
Yeah, super old school. Yeah, it's fine. That's how I learned how to do this stuff. My wife experimented with digital inking, but I just didn't like it. I feel that it loses something. The computer just can't quite reproduce it. So.
All right. Well, I've been on record many times as saying that you have the best layout, and I stand by it. You have the best page layouts of any artist working in comics today.
Thank you.
They're so dynamic, so beautiful to look at. Just look at that overall, the way it's just so pleasing. It's always interesting. So how do you, when you get the script, I mean, do you immediately, as you're reading through the script, start thinking about, okay, how's this gonna look on the page?
Nope.
How am I gonna make it?
I read the script, and I just read the script, and it's like reading a novel or something like that. And then when I gotta lay it out, I look at the page, I write down, okay, I draw a square or a rectangle, what the page number, and then I like, how many panels are on the page? Okay, five panels.
Want to get a signature?
Sure. And I look at the layout, and I decide what needs to be big, what needs to be small, how do I need to move the character through the page, who's talking first in this panel, who's talking first in that panel, and how, you know, there's a shot in Titans 3 where it starts off kind of like it's a big scene with the stuff that happened in issue 2, the wreckage and the rumble, and as it gets closer, it becomes a conversation between Donna Troy and Roy Harper, and as we get more and more intimate to the last panel, I pull all the panels down into like an angle, like directly down to the corner. So it forces the entire eye down to one specific spot for the last line of dialogue. And it's just, I don't know.
So it happens organically as you're...
It really is. I mean, I started experimenting with it in, I think it was Nightwing 19. And there's a shot of Nightwing, and he is fighting these guys, and he's supposed to jump into this helicopter and then grab these guys and jump out. And as I'm drawing this, I was like, well, you know what would be kind of cool? Something flashed. It was, I forgot. It's a scene from Army of Darkness where it's in the windmill, and Ash is tying down the evil Ash before he cuts him up into little pieces. And it kind of, there's this swoosh from the blade from the windmill going back and forth. And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool if I got since we're doing a helicopter, if I put the panels kind of like a propeller moving through the page? And I did that, and I thought, it worked really good. And so I started experimenting with like kind of just moving the pages, the panels around, obscuring the angles. And then when I got to the Flash, and there wound up being a lot of talking pages. And that's one of the things that kind of irks me about the Flash, is I think the Flash should always be kind of moving. It should be a lot of motion and energy in the Flash, and I was like, wasn't kind of getting it. So to make it more interesting, I started like adding these panels that with Nightwing showed motion and movement to just kind of move the story along, so to move the conversation along. And it just, from that point, it just kind of, I realized that I hate drawing. I don't have to like rule things out in like perfect squares or perfect rectangles. I just draw the layouts down, and then I border it after I do the layouts.
As much as I love your art, I think the biggest disservice you could ever do is to do Brett Booth art with like a 9-page grid. Just, you know,
which is really funny because they're actually asking me to do that on one of these pages.
I'm like, no, that's what's so great about your art is the page layouts. It's so dynamic.
For this one specific page, I will do it because it totally makes sense.
Well, you know, once in a while, but I mean, if it were just, you know, page after page after page,
I tried to do that in Aquaman. I tried to kind of go more back to more traditional stuff. on Aquaman 50, and I just wasn't enjoying it. Nothing kind of flowed as well, and which is funny because Aquaman in the water. but like for the fight scenes, I think it works really good. Because if you can like this thing where you can like stagger the panels, and it creates chaos. But it also follows this Z pattern. You know, when you read something, you read this way,
right?
And you go back to this way. You go back to this way. You go back to that way. You go back.
Total zigzag.
So if you panel the borders like that, you know, your eye automatically follows this. And I, because I do a lot of detail in my work and do a lot of backgrounds, some people I saw were complaining that they had a hard time following the pages, the panels, the more traditional way. So I was like, okay, how can I make this as simple as possible? I was like, I'm literally giving you only one way to read this on some of these pages. Some people still complain, but you know. I can only go. There's only so much I can do without you're just, maybe comics aren't for you. I also started doing things, and actually this kind of bit me in the butt the last issue on one page. It's called tangents in art, where you'll draw something, and this is exactly what I did. I had a shot of Abracadabra, and he's talking there, and he's got his mustache, which is this crazy weird mustache, and then on the panel beneath him, I drew another face because he had a bunch of dialogue. And he has this swirl on the top of his hair. He's got like one, like you know, Superman has that curly cue. Yeah. Like he's pretty much really bald and he has this one big swirl. So I did this with the swirl and it made this really weird tangent with the mustache. So we had to move it. But I like, you do a lot of these tangents and everything. And I found that if I do the tangents, it actually helps move the eye along through the panel too. So. It could be something as simple as a background where there's just some like rubble, and then on the next panel beneath it, I like have like part of Abracadabra's collar following the same direction as the rubble, just to point you to where I want you to go on the page.
Now, when you first started out, I mean, because I loved your art way back from when you first were working that out. You started out Wildstorm, right?
Yeah. 93.
But I didn't notice the kind of the dynamic layout.
It wasn't that.
So I mean, you've progressed as it's
gone.
And have you noticed now that, I mean, now that you have all these years of experience, can you really tell when a page has really come together as far as the page layout?
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I nailed this.
Well, so much of it right now is because I've been doing this for like the last 2 or 3 years. It's just, I don't even pay attention to doing it. I just automatically do it now.
It just happens.
It was definitely really conscious when I was first started doing it, but now it's just kind of, it's just automatic. I look at some of the old art that they bring me and I'm just like, oh man. And I actually had a conversation with James Robinson a couple years ago. He's like, when they told me you were doing Justice League, it's a Starman Kong Gorilla one-shot, he's like, I was really kind of bummed. Because I remember seeing your old stuff and it was kind of boring and people just kind of stood around a lot and there wasn't anything really exciting about it. And he's like, then I noticed when you came back and started doing stuff at DC, you were going for these really dynamic angles and you were doing this and you were doing that. And I was like, yeah, well, I kind of had lost interest in superheroes for a while. And then these like DC animated movies kind of like rekindled it. Like the Green Lantern First Light, I think is what it was. Like, really, I loved that animated movie and that just like sparked this like kind of drive to kind of get back into the superhero part. And I kind of like rekindled the love that I had when I was younger. And so I just went and looked at all the, because you know, it'd been a while since I'd done superhero stuff. I went and looked at all the new comics that were coming out. And I remember like Pete Woods, I gave him like one of his first jobs at Wildstorm and stuff like that. And I'm looking at the stuff that's turning in and I was like, wow, this is like really impressive work. I need to step up my game somehow. How can I do that? And I was like, well, one of the things that got me, that I thought about, loved about comics was how exciting and, you know, powerful and magical they were. So I decided to kind of, you know, double down on what I really liked about the comics, which was the energy and the action. How can I make things more exciting? And so I started experimenting with different angles and stuff like that. And that just kind of slowly progressed into the crazy panel layouts. which like one, well, one guy on Bleeding Cool hates, which is really funny. Because they'll be like, some guy's like, oh, one guy loves that. He's like, I don't like his art that much, but I love his panel layouts. And then the next guy's like, oh, I hate everything he does, but I really hate his panel layouts and I can't read them. It's just the funniness about the internet, which I love. That you can have.
Yeah, you're very accessible on social media. I love that about you.
No, I go on Twitter. It's fun. I can talk to everybody. Not even just about comics. Comic movies or just this other movie. The dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I saw this. I saw the spy movie. I was like, I really like the spy movie. And someone's like, I don't like this. And we just have a discussion about the spy movie. And so I use it more as just a way to have conversations and have a good time. Because I'm sitting at my desk while I'm doing all this stuff. So I'm working and typing at the same time, which I probably shouldn't be doing. But
Now, when you're at what point when you're working on a page or a big two-page spread, at what point is there like a certain tipping point where you're like, yes, I nailed this? I mean, are there times where you're like, I thought I was going to work out with this layout, but now it's not. I have to start over. And is there a certain point or a perspective you use looking at it overall?
I've noticed this recently. I'll like draw like all the figures out without any real rendering on it and no backgrounds. And I look at it and I'm like, I'm not sure that works. And then I'll start doing the rendering, and then it kind of all kind of comes together. Because where I used to, like, I'd start drawing, and I'd draw, like, one character completely, and then I draw the next character completely. Now I'm kind of, like, flushing the entire piece out at once, so I can see. Every now and then, you're drawing something, and you just don't get it right, and you got to erase. And then there's always, like, a specific day where you tried, like, 10 times. There was an issue, one of Titans, there was a page that we scrapped that had Aqualad and Aquaman talking. And I could not get Aquaman's freaking new costume right to save my life. I was trying to do the pebbles. And
damn it, Brad Walker.
Yeah. Damn it, Brad. And so I emailed Brian Cunningham. I was like, is it okay if I draw the scales? Because I'm having such a hard time with these pebbles. And he's like, some people are having problems. It's like Tony Daniels is just drawing scales. And so he said, that's fine. I was like, cool. So I'm looking at this page, and I got it all drawn out except for Aquaman scales. And I was like, damn it, I was like so determined to get the scales. And I like finally come up with what I think is like a good happy medium for what I wanted to do. And then they axed the page. I was like,
what did I do?
I wasted 3 days on this, and they got rid of it. Damn it. It happens every now and then, but.
But it sounds like when you really your love for doing superhero comics was rekindled, and like you said, you really had to concentrate on the dynamism mark.
Well, I felt like
and now it comes naturally.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm sure like Frank Miller, and I'm not saying I'm as good as Frank Miller, but how he has able to do this, his storytelling and stuff is like so natural to him now that he can do it in his sleep. It's just kind of one of those things. But I felt like when I got back into superheroes and I looked at all the artwork around there, I felt like there's like 5 or 6 years that I lost of improvement. So I like really strive to get better and constantly improve. I think I got, doing better, definitely much better now. And it's like, as long as I like look back at stuff I did like 6 months ago, I'm like, oh man, that's not, I always see the mistakes in that. Like, keep improving. I don't want to hit a plateau, and I don't want to start going downhill. I'm not there yet in my career. I'd like to keep going up for a little bit longer before I start declining.
Well, speaking as a Brad Booth fan, I mean, I was always a fan of your rendering. I have to be honest, you weren't like, oh my God, he's one of my top 5 guys. I mean, I always loved your Wildstorm stuff back in the day. But man, when you started with this dynamic panel layout, all of a sudden, for me, you're one of my top 5 guys, without question, the industry. Question, the best page layout guy working today. Your stuff is just, and I love the fact that it's organic, because that's your passion, your love for what you do. You don't have to think about it, and it just comes out on the page.
Yeah.
It's the storytelling, it's the panel layouts, it's adding that action, it's adding that love. And I love the fact that DC Rebirth is going gangbusters.
Oh yeah, we're all excited. We're super happy about that. I think we were hoping that they would, sell well. And I think what happened is like the company is like, at the panel we just did, someone had asked Dan DiDio, because there's supposed to be like a Damien and John Boy Kent, or Jonathan, I'm not sure what his name is. Like, they're supposed to have a little team of books.
Super Sons.
Well, the books were selling so well, they decided to push that back because they didn't need it.
Right.
So they didn't need them. They didn't need the cash for it because the things are doing so well.
Yeah, let it happen organically.
And they're like, well, we'll just do it next year, and we'll have new books next year too.
Yep.
So it's like we have books that are selling great now, and we'll hopefully get some books selling great next year. Keep it going. Keep the momentum going. I think that's a big thing now. You can't sit back on your laurels.
And a Booster Gold book? Booster Gold movie?
I don't know about that. I teased Dan about it, and I would love to do it. I'm a huge Booster Gold fan. But I like to tease Dan about it just because it's fun. I did it at Denver Con, and he's like, you almost gave me a heart attack when you said Booster Gold. So someone asked a similar question, and so I said Booster Gold at the panel just to piss off Dan because it's funny. But they're like, everybody is so happy right now. If you see the panel, everybody's laughing and joking because things are really good right now, and we want to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, well,
and we feed off each other, so
exactly,
you know.
Exactly, and it's great to have so many books flying off the shelves, new readers coming in.
Oh yeah,
more eyes on your work.
Well, I'm super happy. And I was like, I would have loved to have been able to do the Flash Rebirth stuff, but the guy they got drawing that I'm like super impressed. Motion, energy, and like John Boy, who's doing the Teen Titans, motion and energy.
Yep.
I was like, that's what I love that stuff. So when I saw what they were putting out, I was like, man, this stuff is great. It's like, I would have loved to have actually drawn this stuff. I can't do everything. But they got some really kick-ass guys to do this stuff. So,
I've been on record as saying your pencils, Norm's inks, Andrew's colors. For me, that's the dream team.
Yeah,
no matter what you guys do.
Yeah, it's great to have the collaborators with Norm and Andrew. I mean, we've been working together for like almost 6 years. I've known Andrew probably about 10 or 15 years now. Norm, I mean, we met on, they put us on that Justice League book with James Robinson. That was the first book we teamed up. And I wasn't originally using an inker because I've had such bad experiences. You feel like you're better than, you're at a certain point, and then
right.
You get an ink. No one wants to ink you because of all the detail work. And I was really lucky to find Norm, who's willing to put in the time to do this, but he can also hit the deadline so we can continue to work together. So
it's the passion.
Yeah, well, it's like we want to keep a team together. So we had like a couple, issue two of Titans, we had like 4 or 5 pages we couldn't color. Andrew couldn't color because the schedule was really tight. And none of us were happy about it. So we're like, we doubled our efforts to try to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Even on the Flash, a few times we had like, I think it was like 2 issues where we had partial fill-ins on colors in like 2 years because of the scheduling. And what that like stings. It's like an offense to us that we don't do the whole project. It's like, well, I couldn't do that. And it's like, oh, really? Like, and we found some great people to fill in, but it's just... Then we want the magic to kind of stay amongst us.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's the passion. You guys care about your fans. You care about your work.
Yeah, you want the book to look good.
You want it to look its best. And as a fan, as a podcast, I appreciate that. So thanks for joining me, Brett.
No problem.
Like I said, your pages are the best layouts in the industry, bar none.
I'll
argue with anyone that point all day long.
Oh, thank you.
And you're one of my favorite artists. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no problem.
Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Thanks a lot.